Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Elisha replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, at the gate of Samaria, 6 quarts of fine meal will sell for a shekel, and 12 quarts of barley will sell for a shekel." Then the captain, the king's right-hand man, responded to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord were to make windows in heaven, could this really happen?" Elisha announced, "You will in fact see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat any of it." 4 men with a skin disease were at the entrance to the gate. They said to each other, "Why should we just sit here until we die? If we say, 'Let's go into the city,' we will die there because the famine is in the city. But if we sit here, we will also die. So now, come on, let's go to the Arameans' camp. If they let us live, we will live. If they kill us, we will die." So the diseased men got up at twilight to go to the Arameans' camp. When they came to the camp's edge, they discovered that there was not a single man there, for the Lord had caused the Aramean camp to hear the sound of chariots, horses, and a great army. The Arameans had said to each other, "The king of Israel must have hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to attack us." So they got up and they fled at twilight, abandoning their tents, horses, and donkeys. The camp was intact, and they had fled for their lives. When these men came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent to eat and drink. Then they picked up the silver, the gold, the clothing, and went off and hid them. They came back and entered another tent, picked things up, and hid them. Then they said to each other, "We're not doing what is right. Today is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning light, our sin will catch up with us. Let's go tell the king's household." The diseased men went and called to the king's gatekeepers and told them, "We went to the Arameans' camp and no one was there, no human sounds. There was nothing but tethered horses and donkeys, and the tents were intact." The gatekeepers called out, and the news was reported to the king's household. So the king got up in the night and said to his servants, "Let me tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we are starving, so they have left the camp to hide in the open country, thinking when they come out of the city, we will take them alive and go into the city." But one of his servants responded, "Please let messengers take 5 of the horses that are left in the city. Their fate is like the entire Israelite community who will die. So let's send them and see." The messengers took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them after the Aramean army, saying, "Go and see." So they followed them as far as the Jordan. They saw that the whole way was littered with clothes and equipment that the Arameans had thrown off in their haste. The messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the Aramean camp. It was then that 6 quarts of fine meal sold for a shekel and 12 quarts of barley sold for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. The king had appointed the captain, his right-hand man, to be in charge of the gate, but the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died just as the man of God had predicted when the king came to him. When the man of God had said to the king, "About this time tomorrow, 12 quarts of barley will sell for a shekel, and 6 quarts of fine meal will sell for a shekel at the gate of Samaria," this captain had answered the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord were to make windows in heaven, could this really happen?" Elisha had said, "You will in fact see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of it." This is what happened to him. The people trampled him at the gateway, and he died. Father, thank you tonight again, Lord, for your word. Father, I pray tonight, God, you'll hide me behind the cross, Father, so that you alone can speak through the power of your spirit and your word as only you can. Father, let your word speak mightily. Let it be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our paths. God, do not let us in any way try to rearrange, try to malign your word and take and make it suit what we want or to do what we want. But Father God, let it shine a light of truth, the steadfast, unchanging truth of your word and the absolute moral truth contained in it, God. And may you be glorified, lifted up, and honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. That's a powerful, powerful story. first part of that, the first verse really gives an indicator of something that's really telling about this story. Again, in verse 1, Elijah replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says." Now, that is important. We know a lot about Elijah and Elisha. We know that in a sense, they were God's spokesman, and like the Holy Spirit does in this time to our spirits. We know what God did with Abraham and Moses. What? God spoke through them. Amen? That's what God did, Old Covenant, Old Testament. We're New Covenant. We have His Word. His Word speaks to us. Yes, God can speak to our hearts. The Spirit can do any and everything that God wants it to do. But in the Old Testament, He communed with us. They didn't have God's Word. They didn't have a Bible they could open up and know what God's thoughts were concerning liberty, concerning truth, concerning immorality, concerning how you love your family. There was not that freedom and ability back in the Old Testament. Therefore, God put spokesmen, is what I call them, spokesmen, and we're seeing this. So we're in a place where, in a sense, there had been judgment, and there was this isolation, and they're starving to death. They're going to die if something doesn't happen. Elisha. Oh, okay, God. Elisha replies, "Hey, hear the word of the Lord." He didn't say, "Listen to what I think. Listen to this." No, he said, "Hear the word of the Lord." Qualifier was the Lord. Don't forget, when it said, "Heard from the Lord," if it wasn't from God, things didn't turn out real good in the, right? Remember that old lion, the lion prophet? The one guy that said, "Don't eat, don't go there and eat." The lion one came, "Hey, God told me you can come eat." Goes over, "Oh, okay, great, God told you, well, he told you, I'm going to go there and eat." Well, about the second he starts eating, that prophet says, "Ah, you shouldn't have done it, you're going to die." And that happened. That's another one that blows my mind. See, God spoke in a different way in the Old Testament, and we're seeing this right here. See, when God says, listen, God himself says, "About this time tomorrow at the gate of Samaria, 6 quarts of fine meal will sell for a shekel, and 12 quarts of barley will sell for a shekel. You can take it to the bank." Because if God says it, therefore, we know God doesn't lie. God doesn't break his word. When God gives a definition of what morality is and right and wrong is, you can take it to the bank. By the way, just because America tells you or I something's right doesn't make it right. It doesn't matter what you and I think. My opinion has no bearing. None. Doesn't matter what I think about something. It matters what God thinks. Don't find somebody you think is smarter than I am to tell you what you're doing's right. It will never be right. Find out what God's word says and live by it, because the only thing you do in rejecting truth is heap more judgment on yourself. Hence what we're looking at right now in this story. But can it really happen? I mean, there's just no way. Because, see, a really godly man on TV told me that this is what life and marriage and relationships and friendships can be right now. Well, he's a good godly man. He makes a lot more money than you do. I know one thing. The Bible speaks to it. You better follow the Bible. Don't follow him. Don't follow her. Don't follow your friend. Don't follow your neighbor. Don't follow an apologist or anybody for that matter if what they're telling you doesn't line up with what God's word says. Don't follow me. And listen to what I say if it contradicts God's word. Because I know one thing, God's holy. And don't ever forget this statement, because it's a Bible verse. God cannot be mocked. Can it really happen? God has said it'll happen. Can it really happen? Friends, we're going to find out what happens when we try to mock God. Come on, God, there's no way. Even if it opened up tonight, that couldn't happen. First thing I want to share with you is out of that first verse. Do not ever think God cannot do the impossible. That's what I say when somebody has cancer. When somebody is not doing well emotionally. When someone's not doing well physically. When someone's not doing well spiritually. When a marriage is in the full throes of the toilet, going down the toilet, I say, don't ever give up until it's over. Because God's in the business of changing the most broken, the most reprobate and rebellious of hearts. I've seen it happen. He did that in my life. God's really good at doing what he does. Don't ever think it's too late. Don't ever. Because what you're saying when you do that is, hey, can it really happen? You want to find yourself at odds with the God of creation? That's my question. Do you want to find yourself at odds with what? What does God represent? God represents truth. God represents righteousness. Do you want to find yourself at odds with the God of creation, who his very character is truth? His very character is that he cannot lie. So do you want to pray and say, God, you know what? I would pray for Uncle Bubba, but you know how Bubba is. He's so hard-hearted, and there's no way he'll ever. Oh, my gosh. Do you realize what you're doing then? You are praying in direct contradiction to God's word. It says his will is that none should perish. So by your statement of, oh, hey, no way in the world, oh, Bubba'd ever get right, what you're doing is questioning the power of God. Can God really do it? We are so faithless, it makes me want to throw up. Amen? It's ridiculous how faithless we are. We'll wait to tithe double next week. Well, I don't know. I'm a little bit short this week, and I got to do something. By the way, let me teach you something about, because I don't talk about tithing every once in a long, long while. But I want to tell you what first fruits are, friends. You know what first fruits are? That means right when your harvest comes in, you take it off the top before you've done anything. What you're showing God is, listen, God, I know you gave all of this to me. And if I'm going to rob anybody, I'll rob myself, because it's my problem, not yours, God. Because you've given me everything that I need and I should have. And just because I think I've got a bad habit that's eaten up what I could tithe 10 times over, my little bad habit, oh, I forget about that, right? Lord, that's a necessity. No, it's not. Don't tell me that your bad habit, your little hidden whatever it is, that you're investing countless amounts of money, and if you do the math on it, and then all of a sudden you're in a financial bind. Get out of here. You've got a God problem is what you've got, and a faith problem. You want to watch your family transform and your life change and your prospects change? You start getting faithful and doing what God says. Not me, it's God, his word, his truth, first fruits. Show him that you recognize where everything comes from by your actions. And then you'll start watching your life change. Because by the way, once again, one time in Scripture he says to test me. One place, and it's that. Everywhere else it says, do not test the Lord thy God. You want to test him in that. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing so great that you cannot contain it. See, don't ever think God can't do the impossible. Don't ever find yourself at a place where you say there's no hope. Because what you've done is placed yourself in direct contradiction, just like this man here in this story, in his overt, arrogant demonstration of faithlessness, even if you want to try to put a nice spin on it and say, well, he was just stating the obvious based on it. Stop it. Verse 2. Then the captain, the king's right-hand man, responded to the man of God. Look, even if you were to make the windows of heaven, could this really happen? Elijah announced, you will in fact see it with your eyes, but you won't eat any of it. Ouch. Second thing I want to share with you tonight is this. Faithlessness will prevent God's blessings from being a reality in your life. Remember, this man would not have been blind to the fact that this guy's word was God's word. He heard the statement. It was not clarified with, this is what I think. No, it says, hear the word of the Lord. By the way, when that had stated, you can take it to the bank. When I get up here and read what God's word, when I share with you Proverbs 1, when I share with you Romans 1, when I share all of this, you can listen. It's God's word. It's not my word. It doesn't have anything to do with me when I say, that you sow, that shall you also reap. It has nothing to do with what my belief system, my thought thinks something should be. No, it has to do with, that's truth. It doesn't change. It never will change. It's absolute. So the question becomes, when you or I don't like what God says and say, well, no, so-and-so told me it's this. Okay, Where's your real conflict, honestly? It's in yourself. Because you're wanting to hear what you want to hear. You don't want to hear what I have to say. You don't want to hear what God's word has to say. You want to do what you want to do. In all honesty, this is what I instruct people to do. I've been doing this for actually about 17 years of my life. When somebody comes to me and they don't like what God's word says, I tell them this: run as far. When they are not repentant and they say, you know what, they're not going to get in line with God's word. They don't want to. They don't like what it says to them. And they are completely categorically in conflict with what God, this is what I tell them: you run as far, as fast. I would not darken the doors of a church. The most dangerous thing you can do is to continue to hear God's word and harden your heart. What I say, the Bible says, deceitfulness of sin hardens your heart. The more you hear it, the more in danger you are. As a matter of fact, what does the scripture say? You ready for this? This is the killer. It is better not to know the way of righteousness than to know the way of righteousness and turn your back on the sacred command that was passed down to you. As a dog returns to its vomit. Do you know what that says? To know the way of righteousness means that you professed faith in Jesus Christ and told God, you don't like it, I'm going to do what I want to do. It's better never to have heard it in the first place, never to have come, never professed, nothing. It's better never to have heard it ever. Why? Anybody know? Because the judgment. Woe to you, Chorazin, by the way. It's never been rebuilt. I saw it with my own eyes. Still desolate rubble. Never. It said you'll never be. And it hadn't been. Woe to you, Chorazin. It'll be more bearable than for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for you. Oh, Sister Ruth. That, I don't care who you are. If you've got any kind of spiritual compass at all, that's scary. Friends, we're talking them about people living under the law. That's not talking about you and I. Oh, you want to go to a level of scary? That's level scary that makes scary scary. That means woe to you now, big time, and us now, because we have more knowledge than they ever dreamed of. Yeah. What about the death doulas they got now? You know what a death doula is? Anybody know what a doula is? You know a pregnancy doula? Kind of like a midwife. They hang out with you and they help you have the baby. They have death doulas now. Uh-huh. You know why? People are scared as you know where about dying. You know why? Because we're watching this chasm between people that believe and know in God get bigger and bigger. And guess what? When you play around with God all your life, it's real fun when you're young, but all of a sudden, when you start knock, knock, knocking on eternity, you don't start thinking that feels good anymore, and you want somebody to sing Kumbaya and hold your hand and tell you everything's going to be all right as you cross the rainbow bridge. But what you don't realize is that God that you thought that truth wasn't absolute and his morality wasn't needed, because why? Oh, somebody told me. I sat in front of a counselor or a teacher, or I sat in front of a pastor that told me everything's going to be all right and we're going to sing Kumbaya all the way to heaven. What happens is when you start dying, all of a sudden that theology comes all to pieces. So there's a whole entire group of people now that are trying to walk you all the way to hell and sing glory hallelujah all the way there. But guess what? They're not going to be there with you yet. There's going to be preachers that stand over your grave as you look rebellious, completely, 100% categorically against everything that was truth. Oh, can it really happen? All right. There's the title. Can it really happen? Come on, man. God's a God of love. He wants us all happy, doesn't he? He wants us to sing butterfly sunshine and pat each other on the back all the way to hell. And by the way, we'll get a good preacher to preach you into it. You won't want me there, by the way. If you ain't living for the Lord, don't put it down in your will to have me preach it. I promise you, it won't be good. Matter of fact, the best thing you could do is have it, though, so hopefully somebody at your funeral one day if you had no pictures of footprints of Christ, I'll preach the truth there, and by God's grace, maybe some of them will get saved. Because I can't preach anybody to heaven, amen? I can't preach anybody out of hell. Nobody. But God forbid that some pastor ain't worth two cents gets up in front of your lost family and tells you you're in a better place when you live like the devil, because then they'll go, oh, well, good. If they're in a better place, I'll surely be there because I am so much better off than they were. I'm just telling you, this is what truth is about right here. It's talking about the stuff that doesn't feel good to talk about. The truth is this right here. This guy's action right here was basically a spit in God. God can't do everything. Remember, because God wants you happy. He wants us to understand that we're in a, you know, he wants us to work it all out. And there's no way, if God opened the floodgates of heaven tonight, that we could eat. Oh, it just won't happen. Oh, well, it's going to happen. And by the way, you won't ever touch it. To me, it's the same thing as what happened when our dear brother never walked into the promised land. You know why? There's consequences to actions, whether you like them or not. Sad part is sometimes the consequences set in long after you've been repentant, and I have been. Ask my dear brother about going to the promised land. I have known people personally that did not get into their promised land, proverbial, while watching grandkids grow up, enjoying a retirement. Why? Because they played around with God one too many years, one too many days, one too many seasons. And the consequences of that, even after repentance, the Lord saw fit not to allow them to see the blessing of those grandchildren that they had so desperately desired one day to enjoy watching their ball games with them and spend that time together. They went home early. See, we don't think that's serious, do we? A lot of people don't. Why don't you turn back to Acts and read that dear story we'll be seeing in the next few weeks about Ananias and Sapphira and find out, oh, what do you call that? See, God's all about kumbaya and love, doesn't he? He struck them two dead with sudden cardiac death for lying to the Holy Spirit. Are you honestly going to convince yourself that God's not going to take sin serious? I don't, again, know what planet you're on, but you're not on this planet if you believe that God doesn't deal with sin. And by the way, after both of them died, a beautiful thing occurred. They had a revival in a sense. It said, great fear seized the church. You know what they did? They had a fear of understanding that God doesn't play around. Does that mean that God's unloving? Absolutely not. It actually shows the height of his love, because if God doesn't deal with it, he is not God. And our eternity's not secure. And you and I are in big trouble if God is a flippant flipper around that doesn't do what his word says. It's thus saith the Lord. It doesn't have anything to do with me. See, faithlessness, though, that prevents God's blessings from being a reality in your life. How many people in your life you ever heard of, man, what, God just does so many things. I wish God would do something like that in my life. I've told them before, I said, what kind of insult is this? When somebody will tell me, I wish God did like he did in your life. I've said, what are you saying? Are you saying that I'm more spiritual than you are? No, you've got something that's preventing God's blessing, and it probably has to do with a little three-letter word that we don't like to talk about. It's called sin. Sin prevents God's blessing from being unleashed in our life. Well, see, we want respect. See, we want to think, well, I mean, it ain't that bad, Lord. You know, I mean, just go on, keep on going. We want to think that it's just that nobody's going to know it. It's not a big deal. We just keep on going and convincing ourselves that it doesn't matter. It doesn't apply. Oh, Lord, I'm suffering for you, Lord. No. It's called sin. And it dams up the lake of blessing that you've created by that. See, all your blessings there, you've just hindered its ability to flow. Because God's promise is to bless us. Does that mean that it's all money and help? No, it doesn't mean that. Sometimes a little thing that I had none of many years ago, and it's a three-letter word. One of them is joy, J-O-Y. Huh, anybody know what joy is? Anybody know what the lack thereof is? I know. I know what it's like to have such crippling anxiety that you can't, my wife will attest to it. Feel free to ask her. I'll give her full permission to share with you what I battled so bad. I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't get off the floor when we bought our property on Frank Martin Road. I was laying on the floor in the office signing the papers. Don't tell me about your anxiety. I'll tell you what'll cure it, though. But you might not want to hear it. You've got to excise sin and the demonic force and influence that you've allowed in your life. You want to get free from fear? You want to get free from depression and anxiety and faithlessness and no sleep and all? Oh, you've got to have an eviction. But see, sometimes those actions are so comforting that we decide that the byproducts of those sometimes, well, it's just happening. No, it just doesn't happen. You've got to decide, hey, please understand, our dear friend King Saul, you think your anxiety and your depression and your all of whatever you're dealing with has gotten bad? No, you ain't seen nothing yet. I used to work the psych ward. You want me to go talk to you? By the way, it's been 20 years ago. I can talk freely about it now. You ain't seen nothing yet. There's people that every couple hours they have to shoot them with sedatives because they literally have lost their minds. Started off, and I'm going to be honest with you, I think a lot of it's spiritual. The demonic oppression and possession that's in some of those places, staggering. I wonder how many of them sat in churches like this and did Proverbs 1. You will call on me, but I will no longer hear you. You will cry out, and I will laugh when calamity overtakes you like a what? A storm. Because you hated knowledge, you hated wisdom. Read it tonight. All of you, read it. Read Proverbs 1. Actually, it'll make your blood cold. Because if you think I'm just standing up here because this, I've got nothing better to do, I want to tell you one thing. You don't believe God laid this message on my heart? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, as I read 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 1 through 20, God just overtly, just waylaid me with the understanding of how profound the power of God is, but also in our belief that it is not a big deal. It's to be taken flippantly. You better do a checkup from the neck up, every one of us. Because God is holy, he is righteous, he is just, and he cannot and he will not be mocked. Then this third, verses 16 through 19, final thing we'll look at, and we'll be done. So we see what goes in there. They find this camp empty, the lepers, man, all of a sudden they've hit the jackpot. They realize that they can't sit there and do that without sharing with somebody else. They go, here we go, okay? Verse 16. Then the people went out, plundered the Aramean camp. Boy, isn't it amazing how God's word does not return void? Ready? It was then that 6 quarts of fine meal sold for a shekel and 12 quarts of barley sold for a shekel. Oh, ironic. According to the word of the Lord, man, God keeps his promise. Therefore, he cannot be mocked. By the way, that's a New Testament verse. Why would I apply that? Because it's still the same exact thing. And the implications of that verse in the New Testament backdate to what is manifest in the Old Testament. So therefore, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that translates beautifully because we watch it happen. The king had appointed the captain, his right-hand man, to be in charge of the gate. This is God now. There's ain't no way God can open up the gates. There's no way it could happen. But the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died just as a man of God had predicted when the king came to him. When the man of God had said to the king, about this time tomorrow, 12 quarts will sell for a shekel, 6 quarts of fine meal for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. This captain had answered, the man of God, look, even if the Lord were to make windows of heaven, could this really happen? Elijah said, you'll in fact see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat any of it. Third and final thing I want to share with you tonight. Live a life of wonder and awe at God's power, not the trap of suspicion and doubt. The trap of suspicion and doubt says, you know what? Lord, I love you and I know, but you know, you want me to be wise, so I'm a little short this week. I'll wait till next week. I'll catch up with you, Lord. Malachi actually says, you know, can you not rob God? Why are you going to rob God? You wonder why in the world everything's not doing well and not working in your life. Your finances have never worked. Why? Because you are trusting yourself. You're living by sight, not by faith. You're demonstrating to your kids are watching everything you do. Friends, I can tell you that as a young child, I knew that my parents tithed every week. How did I know that? They never said a word to me about it. Kids are not dumb. Please stop thinking your kids are dumb. Your kids know what's going on. Amen? Why do I have to say it now? Because I do it digitally. So you got to let your kids know, yep, we tithe, because it can't be like I was the kid seeing when I went through. I wonder what that, oh, that's a church on there. Oh, wow, huh. That's a lot of money. As a young kid, wasn't a lot of money, but as a kid, $10 is a lot of money for me, right? But I was able to see my parents' faith be more than words. I was able to see it in obedience. Now, what do? I get on, by the way, you get it for free on PayPal. If you do it the right way, you got to do it where it comes out of your account, not through your check card, because they charge you 1.5%. Doesn't cost a penny. I do it every week. You can put whatever you want to do it. You can separate it. You can put notes on there. You can do anything. Boom, done. Saves them from having to go and deposit it in the bank account. There's no question about what I gave. It's right there in digital. I have a copy of it. And guess what? The church does too. It's a blessing. It's another thing that God's done and blessed, being able to know exactly what's going on. There won't ever be a lost check. Amen? You can always see, and there's always, I got a record of it back from infinity, if it ever happens that time. So now, it's a little different. You have to let your kids know when you're having disciples, you're having, occasionally you need to let your kid, yes, we tithe. We do it digitally. This is what we do. We get on the phone like this, and we put in there what we want to do. Yes, see? This is what you do as a follower of Christ. You're trusting God, and you're showing God this is where it comes from. They need to see you being faithful. They need to see you not going, well, you know, we're hoping things will work out. Don't you dare do that to your children and undermine their faith in God. You know what? You say, well, I don't understand how it's going to work out, but I'll tell you what. Our God has always been faithful. He has never left us. He's never forsaken us. And we're going to trust God now, even though we can't see in front of us, kids. We know that God will never cease to do what He promises to do. And you keep reaffirming those promises to your children. You know what they'll do? They'll do like I did and grow up and know those promises. That even though that time that I was a prodigal and ran from the Lord, my parents' life and demonstration of godly faithfulness as I was a rebellious young child, praise the Lord, train them up in the way they should go. When the old, they won't depart from it. I know that I and my brothers are a byproduct of what they did for all those years. And your children tonight, if you still have them under your roof, are going to be a byproduct of your faithful submission to God's plan, purpose, and will for your life. By the way, abandoning the flesh and the fleshly desires in the process. Don't think that any and every one of us battle with those. Because the human heart is deceptive above all else. We know that. Full well, Scripture promises us that. Might I say a better one? Warns us of that. The same way that in Proverbs it warns about the wayward. It warns over. Why do I know it? Because we read one every night in our home. It warns about the wayward, the complacent, the fools. It warns about alcohol. It warns about addiction. It warns about every bit of it. I wonder why. Because God's desire is to protect us. And how can we be protected if we have no warning? We're watching a culture defining itself by the depravity of the heart. Anybody in here never had a depraved thought? There's been people in here, we all have had evil and depraved thoughts at times. Are you defined by that? I pray not, because you have a very seriously warped brain if you define yourself by the wicked proclivities of your depraved nature. The same way that a normal human being doesn't walk around saying, hey, I love to go home and do X. That's what I am. I sure hope that doesn't define you. I hope there's more to you than that. Amen? Because I know one thing. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That defines me. I don't need to run around and define myself by the wicked proclivities of the human condition in rebellion to God. But we're surrounded now by a world that believes that has become the order of the day. The order of the day is doubt. Can it really happen? Is it really true? If you don't think a God can give us an untainted, well, there's pain. It was written by flawed. Oh boy, I'm going to tell you what. If God can't give us his word untainted, I don't know where you're going to go for eternity, because you've got nothing to put your faith in. Because if God can't give us the untainted word and hang around for 2,000 years to give it to us, he's not God in the first place. And every bit of it's bunk. Again, why are you here if you believed that truly? See, what I know is he's big enough. He spoke this ex nihilo out of nothing in 6 days, rested on the seventh day. And guess what? That's why I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that his word is true. He is faithful, because he is all power. And the very love that he has for mankind dictates that we have a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. What we do with that, that's a whole different story. This poor man, I'm not going to say poor man. What are you thinking? That's what I want to say to this guy. What are you thinking, man? I might say, hey, wow, that would be, I mean, I know God can do it. It would be awesome to watch how he'd do it. How about that being a better thing, right? Because then you lend the holy power of God to God, because God can do it, though it seems impossible. The same way with every situation in our life right now, that we get in such a mess that we're right there with our nose above defending it, when all we've got to do is repent and realize that God, and recognize that God is the only one that can heal us in every respect. But we've got to admit we're going to drown. But our human pride and the lies of Satan will let us do that and drown, all the while with the lifeline that stands right there. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just. What? 1 John 1:9. He'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But yet in our stubborn arrogance and our faithlessness, we'll stand there and look at the very lifeline as the last bit of our nose goes underwater, and we die in our pride and our arrogance. And by the way, I'm not even talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. How many people you watched in here look like a daggone firework, like a Roman candle spiritually? Think I hadn't watched it in here? Anybody else? Hey, I've watched them get so bright. It'll like comets coming through here. Today, there's not an ounce of spiritual life in it all. So you might go, well, Brother Jonathan, we just didn't do something right. Let me remind you of a man who walked about 2,000 years ago. His name was Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 66, teacher, this is tough, paraphrasing. Teacher, this is hard teaching. Who can take it? Verse 66 says, many of them left and no longer followed him. What does that say? Just because you've met Jesus don't mean that you're a part of him. You better listen to real clearly what I said, and then refer to Matthew chapter 7 about the broad road and the narrow road that only a few find. I'm just telling you that, church, this is just the reality of it right now. Just because you know about Jesus means absolutely nothing. You can sit in church for 100 years of your life there every single Sunday and die in split hell wide open. You think, oh, how could he say that? I'll tell you why, because you need to get in God's word and read it. Knowing about God means nothing. It is knowing Jesus Christ and a regenerative work of Christ that by their fruit you will know them. Examine the fruit in your life. Examine your heart's condition when you lay down at night and everything's gone. When you lay in there at night and you go, you know, I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, oh, geez, I know I prayed, I got saved. I don't know about this fruit I was talking about. But I mean, I know, yeah, I remember I got baptized. Stop it. Stop convincing yourself. I know I've dealt and talked to people who've said that very thing and then ultimately realized that they were lost. They saw no fruit, but they continued to remind themselves of the time that they prayed to receive Christ. Stop doing that. Look at the fruit in your life in accordance with what God's word calls us to, and do what Paul said. Examine yourselves to see that you're what? In the faith. That's my call to you tonight. That's my challenge to you tonight. Go home tonight and lay there and say, God, pray tonight during the invitation. I'm serious. I'd say every person in this whole place do it. During the invitation tonight, say, God, I want you to do something tonight. God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a God that speaks. You're a God that lays bare the condition of my heart. You say tonight, Lord, if I don't know you truly as a born-again, regenerate follower of Jesus Christ, Lord, don't let me sleep tonight. God, overwhelm my spirit with an unease that is unmatched. God, don't allow a bit of sleep to come to my eyes, Lord, so that I will know the condition of my heart, because I know that your desire is to save mankind, to bring them to a regenerate understanding of who Jesus is and a regenerate work of salvation. God, if that's you, don't let me sleep one wink. Don't want to do that? Okay. Keep doing what you're doing then. Not with my behest, but that's what you're going to do, then you do it. I would challenge everybody, because listen, if you're a regenerate follower of Jesus Christ, you'll pray that prayer and only have a greater affirmation of the regenerate condition you are in. Amen? You will have an overwhelming peace of sleep tonight that when you hit the pillow like myself, about 30 seconds later, I'm snoring. That is the peaceful sleep I'm talking about. You'll have that tonight if you have no issue spiritually. But what we're doing is praying in accordance with God's will, right? Because it is desired that none should perish. So if you pray that tonight and you don't sleep, I would challenge you to start talking to the Lord tomorrow and say, God, what do we need to do? I don't care if you're 105 years old and you've been at church your whole life. Doesn't mean nothing. By their fruit, you'll know them. Tonight, do you desire to know about Jesus or to know him? Do you desire to stand there knowing about the power of God but rejecting the fact, like that man did, that there's no way it could happen? Because, right, we're not in the apostolic era anymore, kind of a mindset. Don't you wall off God so that you never see his power in your life? Because why? Well, someone told me he doesn't do that kind of stuff anymore. I want you to start praying with authority. I want you to do what we do back here so many times, praying over people, anointing them with oil when they come to us like the Bible says. I know churches right now, they've never prayed over anybody and anointed with oil ever. Well, the Bible tells us to do it, so how can we not do that when someone comes to you and asks? The Bible talks about it, says it in the book of James. How can we not do and demonstrate what the Bible calls us to do? See, that's when you have a form of godliness but deny its power. The Bible says that. With such people have nothing to do. Is your godliness tonight have power? Then you know what I'm talking about. But if it doesn't, I would challenge you tonight again to get on your face before God and ask that the walls of this spiritual life that you have been formed in, that God would remove that and let God himself reveal himself and his power, because God is so good. Let's pray. Father,
thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.